Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. You're welcome. We love you, Minister Joe. Well, we're going to go ahead and get pray and turn it over to our CEO, Dr. Michael D. Moore. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor. We give you praise and thanksgiving this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord God, that you've given us to serve you in full-time ministry. I thank you for the gifts and the talents that you've given us. I thank you for this opportunity to be mentored. And I thank you that as a result of these mentoring sessions this year, we'll all go to another level personally and professionally. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Moore.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, good morning again. Good to see you all. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to begin our leadership development. It's going to be a combination of following the handout. It's going to be a combination of exercises that we'll do, practical things that we'll do, and it's going to be a time of mentoring. So you'll always at some time need your Bible when you come to these sessions. You may or may not use it. You'll always need a pen and pad, or if you got your iPad or whatever, so that you can take notes, because I'll share some things that may not be here in the manual, and you want to make sure that you take those notes. So I want to give you some introductory things, talk a little bit about purpose, and I want to make some statements, and then I want to share some things from these statements. Number one, and most of this is not even in your manual. When we get to that, we'll let you know we're ready. the success of any organization rises or falls based on the leadership of the organization. The success of any organization rises or falls based on the leadership of that organization. I sense something supernatural. I said that Sunday. It wasn't really hype for me. It wasn't like I was trying to just pump the congregation up. But I have a sense in my spirit of a supernatural season that we're entering in. A supernatural season of increase in attendance, membership, an increase in resources, an increase in people resources, an increase in influence, anointing, grace. I sense that we're at the threshold, that we're at the door. We're standing at the door, and as I see it in my spirit, we're about to move into a different arena, an arena that we've not experienced before. And I think that leadership and having the leadership base to manage that is going to be critical for us. In fact, I sense in my spirit that God doesn't really have a time down here waiting on us. I sense in my spirit that as we prepare, we release it. I sense in my spirit that God is already ready. I sense in my spirit that it is a critical time for us to prepare. And I sense that there's something special about this year, that there's something very special about this year. And I want to put a slogan to it because it's not a slogan, but there's something special about this year in terms of being prepared. I sense that this is a year of preparation for us. I am limiting the opportunities that God that I have to minister out. I'm limiting. Right now, I don't know if over one place that I'm going to minister. Maybe other opportunities, but it's going to be very limited that I do anything outside of the church. I sense in my spirit that it's critical for me to be here, that this year is very critical for me to spend time with leaders, to, and so it's a very special season. It's a season of preparation for us. And I said that, but I sense a prophetic thing that I'm speaking to you right now, that it's not just notes. It's something prophetic that we're entering into. Secondly, it is my responsibility as CEO to emphasize and establish a culture of leadership development. It is my responsibility as CEO to emphasize and establish a culture of leadership development in our organization. And that is why we're going to meet so regular. See, we're going to meet every other week all year long. That is a lot. That's a lot of getting together. You see, that's serious. When you're talking about every other Tuesday from 9 to 12, we may not take all 3 hours. We may give you change. Sometimes we may use the whole time. But that is serious because we're trying to communicate something to you through the consistency of us getting together, the consistency of me spending time with you, this consistency of me attempting to develop you, it should speak to you that this is important to me. It should speak to you that I'm trying to establish something more than just having a meeting. I want a culture of leadership development that in all of your areas, you're developing people. That's what we do. That's the way we think. We develop people. Thirdly, and here's a statement that I'm going to make. I read it somewhere, but I'm going to make this statement. And then I want you to tell me whether it's true for you. Tell me whether it's true for you. The vast majority of the workforce in organizations possesses far more capability, creativity, talent, initiative, and resourcefulness than their present jobs allow or even require them to use. Now I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it slow, okay? And if you need me to say it again, then I'll say it again, because you got to give me an answer whether you agree with this statement, especially in regard to you. The vast majority of the workforce in organizations, the vast majority of the workforce. So if we say it here in this organization, I'm saying the vast majority of you. So the vast majority of the workforce and organizations possesses far more capability, creativity, talent, initiative, and resourcefulness that their present jobs allow or even require them to use. So let me ask you a question. Are you more capable, talking about you individually now, are you more capable? Do you have more creativity in you? Are you more talented? Do you have initiative? Do you have resourcefulness that the job you own now doesn't utilize or require? Do you think you can do more than what you're doing right now? Do you think that you can add more value than what you're adding right now? Do you sometimes feel like, I wish I could do more, I wish I could contribute more? Do you sometimes feel like I have more to offer? That's what this is saying. So how do you answer that? What's your answer? Not a rhetorical question now.
Yes.
Anybody, let me see your hand if you say that's you. Will anybody tell me, just in a general way, I want specifics in a general way, what your feelings are. Your feelings are. And remember, I don't want a sermon. What's your feelings are? Okay, you feel like there are different things that you could be doing. Okay, that's the kind of statement I want. I don't want nothing deep and heavy, nothing long. Anybody else like to communicate? Yes.
In a way, I feel like.
And I like the way you all phrasing it. I feel like, because you're talking about you. In a way, I feel like what? In a way, you feel like you're being shortchanged, and in a way, you feel like the company is being shortchanged. Anybody else like to express your feelings? Okay. Yes.
How are they going to feel comfortable expressing their feelings and their supervisor here, which may
I get to it. I got some in my notes about that. I got some in my notes about that. I got some expectations. This really shouldn't be threatening, because this is not the question really is not, is your supervisor holding you back? See, that's not what you brought out is something that's important. It's so important that I put it down in my notes. And you'll understand the challenge I had with having a leadership training that involved everybody. See, I thought about that. So that's a critical thing that she made, but we'll address it. But here's the thing. It's more a reflection on me than it's a reflection on your boss. Because I'm asking you, do you feel that you have more to offer? That's not an indictment on anybody. Anybody else? And I'm not going to pull on you in these sessions. This is a leadership thing. I'm not going to pull on you. Yes. Okay. Anybody else before I go on? Okay. Okay, yes, sir.
I think it's the structure of the organization that really is responsible.
No. Listen to the question. And now I'm going to talk to y'all just like this, okay? So I ain't talking about you now, Wayne. I ain't talking about you. You're going to have to be able to handle me, period. Mm-hmm. You're just going to have to be able to handle me. Listen to the question. We're not talking about the organization, Wayne. We're talking about, do you sometimes feel that you have capabilities that are underutilized, not being utilized, or whatever? Do you have more to offer?
Definitely.
Okay. That's the question. That's the question. And that has a lot to do with why we're doing what we're doing. It has a lot to do with why we're doing what we are doing. Here's another statement. I got several statements that I want to make. In our organization, here at Faith Chapel, we have leaders who have titles. How many of you have a title? You are a leader in the organization. Let me see your hand. Okay. Now, let me see your hand, please. Okay. Drop your hand down. How many of you don't have a title? You're not, per se, a official leader in the church. Let me see your hand. Okay. So we got several hands up. Okay. So in our organization, we have leaders who have titles, as we already proved. But I also believe that we have leaders who don't have titles. And I think that's true in every organization. I think that in every organization you have people who don't have the titles, but in the way they carry themselves, in the way they approach their work, in the way they support and all that, they possess all the qualities, and in some cases, even more the qualities than people who have a title. I think that's true in other organizations. I think it's true at Faith Chapel Christian Center. So we have people who have titles, but we also have people who may not have an official title, but they are leading. And then I think that we have people who don't feel like they're a leader. But they just don't know it. They don't know what it is. They don't know. They have a misconception of it. They think that somehow you're born this way. And because they're not demonstrating it, they feel like they're not. Given the right input, given the right motivation, there would be people sitting here who would discover that they have leadership capacity and they have leadership ability. Now, if leadership was something that you were born with, then we could say some folk got it, some folk don't have it. But if leadership is something that you can learn, then it's just an issue of you having confidence in yourself and applying what you learn. And that's the good thing about this whole deal, is that leadership is learned behavior. You can learn to be a good, you can learn how to be a leader. You can learn it. I mean, you're not born. Some people are called from the womb, are called in turn it to pass. But you can learn. Everything that I'm going to be sharing with you this year, you can learn it. I mean, you can make adjustments. You can apply it. You can use it. It's not something that you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have had a college education. You don't have to have even ever had a title or been over anybody. It's possible. And so you got all kinds of people in an organization, and then sometimes you have people under the radar. They under the radar. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows that they have what they have. Sometimes their personalities keep them locked in a zone, so they kind of under the radar. So I wrestled with the concept of having a leadership development, and this is the progression that I had. I had an unction from the Holy Ghost at the beginning, because I've been praying about this for months. I've been preparing for months. I've been thinking for months. So I had an unction from the Spirit of God to involve everybody. Now, a natural part of me was going to take a group of people who had the titles, most of the people that report to me and all this, and just pour into them, and then they were going to spread it to everybody. I had an unction from the Holy Ghost to involve everybody, that there is a small staff, technically, when you think of what we're called to do, when you think of the numbers of people that we're managing or are serving, is a better word, we're a small staff. If you look around here and look at the numbers of people in here, it is really a small group of people. It's really a small group of people. Yet we're standing at the threshold of all this increase, yet we have a small group of people to work with. So from a spiritual standpoint, from a natural standpoint, I was wrestling with what Miss Pete was talking about when she was saying, how can people talk when they have? Well, you know, I thought about that, and that was one of my concerns, that you have a leadership thing, development, but you got different levels of authority here. You got executives. And then you got directors who are under executives. And then you got directors. And then you got managers and stuff under people. And then you got employees under managers and under this. And so it can seem kind of awkward. It can seem very awkward. So from a mental standpoint, just I'm a thinker. So I thought that would be very awkward. But I still had an unction from the Spirit of God. So, you know, there are times when the Spirit of God just thinks different than we think. Yes. Mm-hmm. He can see stuff we can't see. So, you know, when you're leading, you have to think pros and cons. You have to think, okay, what's the pro? What's the con to do this? What the advantage to doing it this way? What's the disadvantage? And sometimes you make decisions based off the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. You know, sometimes you make a decision just because God wants you to do it that way. It doesn't have to make sense. It just because God wants you to do it that way. Well, he didn't quite tell me the answer, but this is what I believe the answer. If we had selected, and we were thinking about doing it, was moving in that direction. If we had selected certain people, we may have missed people that will be critical to us. Because some of you, I'm going to say it like this, but I don't mean in the comparing. You may outshine folk that we got in the forefront. You just ain't on the radar. And see, there are going to be so many opportunities now. It's not about thinking just where you are. It's thinking about, okay, we explode over here. Who's going to lead these folk? Who's going to be over this area? If we have a department here, got to open up, we got to respond to the demand. Who's going to do it? Do we now try to get folk ready to do it? And who do we choose? So I think God wants all of us to lead. I just think that's his heart. I think it's his mindset. I think he wants all of us to lead. I think he's given us all a chance to learn. And whether you use it now, think about it. Everything I'm going to teach you, you can use at home. You're going to lead somewhere. If you're an adult, you're going to lead somewhere. On some level, you're going to lead somewhere. And you got to think. If you're just running a household, you got to be a thinker to run a household. So I think that has a lot to do with it. The scope of the leadership, you know, what are we going to be talking about? I'll give you an overview, but I wouldn't even write this down because I'm not giving you a certain order. I'm just giving you an overview of the kinds of things. Because the subject of leadership is so broad. I mean, just so many different facets to it. It's just so much to it. So there's the leaders. Let's talk in a broad way, the scope of a leadership development program, if we'll call it that. It has to include something about the leader's role, the leader's personality, the leader's behaviors, have to deal with self-awareness. Leaders have to understand something about themselves. Something to do with vision casting, goal setting. Leaders have to select teams, have to build teams. Leaders have to delegate. Leaders have to empower others. Leaders have to motivate people. Leaders have to coach people, develop people. Good leaders have to recognize top performers. They have to confront poor performers. They have to resolve conflict, have to manage difficult situations. Leadership involves decision making. It involves problem solving. It involves communication. It involves change management. Leadership involves evaluating, monitoring performance, rewarding. Leadership involves holding folk accountable, strategic planning. Oh, it's broad. That's why we can't do it in 6 weeks. We can't do it in a quarter. I'm not sure we can do it in a year, but I have an urgency that we have to be ready for what God wants to do for us. So all these different kinds of subjects we're going to be talking about, all these different kinds of things that we're going to be talking about. Let's talk expectations. This is something you do want to write down. You know how many I have?
Seven.
But before you begin, number one, let's talk about what I don't expect, what I don't want. I do not want you to allow your participation in this leadership program to influence you in any way to dishonor the people you under. God is doing us all a favor. God is saying we're all important. He's calling all us to lead. That does not change the org structure. Your boss, whoever your leader is, executive director, whoever's over you, the org chart didn't change because we set this program up. So if you leave out here in any way dishonor the people that you're over, then that's abusing what we're calling you, we're trying to do. That's not a hard thing. I mean, it's not hard. That's not hard. If you were under somebody, when you walk through this door, you're still under them. They still have the right to give direction and guidance and all that. Nothing I'm going to say is going to undermine that. Nothing. Nothing I'm going to say is going to undermine it. Now, you can twist it, but nothing I'm going to teach you is going to undermine. In fact, to be honest with you, if you never led, if you never had a title, if you never were over everybody, it will help you to know what leadership is so that you can respond properly to it. I taught a series called The Pastor, Who Is He? I taught that to the flock. I didn't teach that to the flock because they were going to all become pastors. I taught that to the flock so they'd know how to respond to me. This should help you to understand the kinds of things that leaders have to deal with. It should help you to cooperate with them. So I don't expect you to dishonor me or dishonor what I'm doing. Or I know what human nature is. I know how human nature is. But you're going to be reprimanded if you do it. You're going to be reprimanded if you do it. Secondly, don't manipulate this. Don't manipulate what I'm doing now. I don't want a single one of you to say, well, now, Pat, go to your boss, your leader, and say, well, you know, Pastor said. Pastor said, don't use me. Don't even bring me up. Don't even, if you have a situation with the person that's over you, you approach it like you normally approach it. Don't take some little old twisted, manipulative situation, taking something I said, and throw it in your boss's face, the person you report to. Because from my vantage point, that's manipulation. Because nothing changed. You still should be approaching people. Sometimes you have to talk to your supervisor. That was true before you came here. It doesn't change. You're still supposed to go. If there are things that you have a challenge with or have a problem with, you should always confront your supervisor, leader, or manager, whoever. You should always do that. That's always been protocol. You don't take this and say, well, Pastor said, and you're not doing this. Don't do that. That's manipulative. That's manipulating. Members do it all the time. They do it all the time. I'm teaching on something. They go home and tell their husband what Pastor said. And naturally, the person's going to rebel because that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to practice it. It's not taking something I said and trying to wrap it around your boss's neck. You're not going to get anywhere. Let me tell you something. If you do that, you're not going to grow in this organization. You're not going to grow because God's going to see it, and he's not going to bless it. So I'm trusting you with this. I'm trusting everybody with this, that you're not going to take it and just you, for selfish reasons, try to manipulate your way and get an advantage over something. If your supervisor ain't doing what they need to do, ultimately, it's going to come to the light because they're going to be held higher at a higher standard. All this is going to put a demand on you. All this time I'm going to spend with you it's going to have a demand on you. There's going to be an expectation that's going to flow out of that. So please don't do that. Please don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself if you do that. Trust me. You're going to hurt yourself to do that. And you do not want me to be looking at you talking about why you take what I said and use it like that. You don't want that confrontation. You don't want that. So please, please value what God is doing. Value it and grow from it. And don't try to, don't run a con on nobody, okay? Come on, lift your hands up. Say, I won't do that.
I won't do that.
Okay. Seven expectations. Seven expectations. Number one is attendance. This is a job. This is your job. This is not optional. This is not whether you want to come. No, I'm going to be meeting with you every other week. I want you to put it on your calendar. I want you to take other days. I don't want you to just, now if you're on vacation, that's one thing. If you're sick or challenged, that's another, that's an extenuating circumstance. But I'm just going to take off today. Take off on Thursday. Take off on Wednesday. Take off on Friday. Don't just take off days because you're going to be held accountable for this. So this is your job. I expect you to come. I expect it to be important to you. Nothing you doing out there is more important than what I'm asking you to do. It ain't important out here. I don't care what it is. 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 This is important. We got a short time to do it. We ain't got much time. We ain't got much time. Number two, so I expect your attendance. Number two, I expect your participation. This is a leadership program. I'm watching you. You come in here, say nothing, never say nothing, never participate. In my mind, I'm evaluating you. You can't help me in that area. To me, you can't help me. You just can't help me. Now, you know, you said, well, that's my personality. Well, I don't need that. I don't need that. Leaders are communicators. Leaders have to know how to communicate. If you do that in here, that tells me that's the way you're going to do people. And I don't want folk won't talk to people. They won't send in to the people. They're walking around. I can't handle that. So if you come in here and act like you're dumb, you just act like you're dumb. Because that's the way I'm going to see it. I'm going to say, yeah, you're just dumb. I'm serious. If you come in here like this and you don't ever say anything, I'm going to think you're dumb. I'm going to think you can't handle what I'm trying to get you to do. So if that's your personality, you got one of them low-key personalities, you better come out in this time. Now, you go back, but you got to come out in this time. Participation. I ain't going to pull on you. I'm just going to monitor you. I ain't going to be saying, I'm going to treat you like leaders. I'm going to treat you just like leaders. But I can see all of y'all. I know who said something, who didn't say something. I know who got involved, who didn't get involved. I'll know who come act dumb, and I'll know who participate. So I'm evaluating you. This is evaluation. I'm evaluating whether you can help me in that area, that level. Something else, I didn't have it in my notes, but I feel I need to say this. This is 2012, not 2011, not 2010, not 2009, not 2008. This is 2012. I'm not going back to that. I'm not dealing with it. I ain't dealing with what the organization didn't do. I ain't dealing with who didn't do you right, who didn't do this. And I ain't dealing with none of that. I ain't dealing with none of that. If you need counseling, you hurt, we'll counsel you. We'll set up counseling with you. But I'm gone. I'm gone. We'll evaluate the organization presently, we got weaknesses, we'll call it a weakness. We ain't gonna play with it. But I ain't gonna try to fix something that happened in 2008 and 2009. I ain't gonna try to fix you either. So in your discussion, don't be taking me back to that, because I'm gonna tell you that's not important for right now. I'm gonna confront you. I'm gonna say, listen, that is not important. So if you're not healthy, get counseling. Get counseling. Nothing wrong with that. If you're not healthy, get counseling. But I'm in 2012. What year is this?
2012.
What year?
2012.
It's 2012. Okay. Number what?
Three.
I expect you to learn. And I expect it to be something you enjoy doing. I don't want it to be, oh, Lord, we meeting for 3 hours. No, I want it to be enjoyable. I want you to learn, and I want you to approach this kind of like if you knew you had an opportunity to prepare yourself, and it would bless your life in terms of fulfillment and finances and all that, and you paid money to go to a program, I want you to approach it like that. I'm going to learn everything I can get out of this. I'm going to learn everything. I'm just going to be empty right now. I'm going to act just like I don't know nothing, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to take my notes, and I want to learn. And that's where I am, man. I'm trying to learn this stuff, and it's a lot to learn. It's a lot to learn. But I want to learn. See, I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be better. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same. I want to learn. And there's so much to learn. So I want you to learn. Number four, I want you to learn to think. Learn to what?
Think.
Here's a statement. It came up to me, and I just believe the Spirit gave it to me. Leaders understand how followers think, but they don't think like followers. Spirit of God, that just kind of rose up in me. Leaders understand how followers think, but they don't think like followers. What I want y'all, when it's all said and done, and I understand that leadership development is not a one-year thing. It's an ongoing thing. Every year you should be having leadership development. I'm speaking of this year because we want it to be a little intense. But when it's all said and done, I want you to think different than the way you think now. A lot of times I'll ask questions, and when I ask the question, I'm really not trying to tell you what to do. I'm really not, you know, people who report to me, I don't like to just tell them what to do. But I ask a question because I want to see whether you thought about it. I want to see what you think, what you're thinking like. Do you think through the difference between followers and leaders is leaders think different. But you have to know how followers think to lead them. But if you think like a follower, you're going to be one. See, if you think like a follower, and if you're here today and you're not, and you're a follower, I mean, you don't see yourself as a leader. The reason why you are a follower and not a leader is because you think like a follower. I'm serious. That's the only, it's not intelligence, it's not degrees, it's not capacity. No. No, it's none of that. It's none of that. If you see yourself as a follower and not see yourself as a leader, the only reason you're not leading is because you think like a follower. And leader leaders can't think like a follower. You can't think the same way. You got to think. When I ask you a question, why you made that decision, I'm not challenging the decision. I want to know what you were thinking when you made the decision. I use Mike for an example. Mike called me this morning, and he said, what did you say?
I said I might be running a few minutes late.
Okay, he said he might be running a few minutes late. It was a personal thing, right? So we ain't got to go into personal stuff. But he said, I might be running a few minutes late. And I said, I was a little hesitant in my voice, right? Okay. You noticed that, didn't you? I said, how late you gonna be? You remember I said that? Okay. So I'm thinking. You know what I was gonna do, but you did good.
I told you I may not be late, but I wanted to give you a heads up.
You wanna give me a heads up? I had a little quiz for you. I had a little quiz for you, but you passed the test. I was going to ask you, if we were a $500 million organization and you were being groomed to be the vice president, and the first meeting, that the CEO is developing 5,000 leaders in the organization, which you call the CEO and say, I think I'm gonna be a little bit late. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Not for a personal matter, but he thought. See, he thought, and he got here, because he needed to be here. Because that don't matter to me. My first meeting, and I'm grooming him to be over this, it's going to be a little late. The first meeting, you don't do that in no organization. No organization. But he made it. Come on, give him a hand. The issue with me was not, so you understand how I think, the issue with me was not being indifferent, insensitive to needs. Because I'm like this, I'll give you the day off to do it. See, I'll give you the day off to do it. So it's not like I don't care. But I want to know how you think. I want to know how did you weigh that. See, I want to know how did you weigh this. And this is more important than this. Okay, what's the value in it? Why make this decision as opposed to this decision? See, he made a decision and got here on time. Or he could have made another decision and got here late. So why did we choose this? See, leaders think. They weigh stuff, and then they think about the decisions that they make. We got to think better. Pastor got to think better. CEO got to think better. We just got to think better. See, leaders think a certain way. That's what makes them good leaders. So I expect you to think. Now, you ever heard this? Now listen in your notes. You ever heard this, hindsight is 20/20?
Right.
What does that mean? What does hindsight mean, 20/20 mean? You can see clearer after the fact, right? Okay. For a leader don't function in hindsight. Leaders function in foresight. See, if you're on the backside of the event and now you can see it clearer, you're not a leader. You're responding. You're responding to what happened. So now you can see it clearer. Now, I shouldn't have done this. I should have done it. You can see it clearer. No, no. Leaders on the front side. They're on the front side. They're up here, and they're thinking through. If I take this role, what will happen? If I take that role, where will it take me? If I make this decision, how will it impact these folk? If I make this decision, how will it impact these folk? You're weighing ahead of time, and you're thinking through ahead of time, so the Spirit of God is working with you because you're thinking ahead of time. You're not on the backside. And you can train yourself to think like that. That's the beauty. You can train yourself to think like that, where you think through all the scenarios, asking the Spirit of God to help you. You're thinking through all the scenarios before you get there. Before you get there. So it's not hindsight. So I'm expecting you to grow in your thinking capacity. In your thinking capacity. I have to think like that all the time. I have to think ahead of time. My sermon Sunday was me thinking ahead. I'm teaching on deliverance. I'm teaching on demons. I'm teaching on that. So now I got to put myself in the place of the people hearing. See, they're hearing. They're hearing. So up here, I realize if I don't add some balance to it and help them to understand we got some forces on our side, then they'll become demon conscious.
Right.
And the more they see demons, the more afraid they're going to become. Mm-hmm. So I got to think ahead of time and plan a lesson that will help stabilize them, so when they're thinking about confronting demons, they ain't just got all these demons and they by themselves. So folk left the lesson thinking about our forces. We got these angels on our side. Well, I had to think of that. See, I had to think about it. I couldn't just come to, you know, let's see how this is going to turn out. You know, let's just see. No, I want you to be better thinkers. Better thinkers, thinking, thinking, thinking. So I have an expectation. And you can do that. So you can develop that. You can grow in that. That's the beauty of this whole thing. That's the beauty of this whole thing. We can train ourselves to think like that. And once we start thinking, the Spirit of God is going to jump in and help us and start showing us things to come. You can do it. Come on, say, I can do it.
I can do it.
Come on, say, I can do this.
I can do this.
Next expectation, number what?
Five.
I want you to practice it. Practice. Okay, what?
Practice.
What?
Practice.
What?
Practice.
What does that mean? Apply it. I want you to take it. I want you to apply it. When you see somebody applying it, don't mess with them. Don't say, you're just trying to do what Pastor said. Don't even play with it. Don't even play.
That's good.
Don't even play like that. Let the they're supposed to do what Pastor said. Don't make this a game. Don't make it a game. If you're somebody over you or you see somebody trying to apply what, that's what they're supposed to do. Now, here's something I want you to practice. Still number what?
Five.
I want you to practice connecting with people. We got to connect. You got to connect. Come on, lift your hand and say, I'm a leader.
I'm a
So leaders have to connect.
So leaders have to connect.
Okay. Now, I want you to practice connecting, and you can start here. Practice connecting with people that you're not close to. I know you got your group. I know you got your friends and all that. But I want you to come out of your comfort zone, and I want you to start connecting to folk that you're not accustomed to connecting outside of your department. I want you to walk up to them and you start a conversation. You start the conversation. That's here. Secondly, I want you to connect to vision partners, volunteers, and minister managers that are volunteers. Everybody here got to connect with somebody that's a volunteer because they don't see us.
That's good.
They're not down here. We can have our little thing going on, but we got a group of people that's carrying this church. They carrying it. The vision partners and those volunteer leaders, they carrying the church. We ain't carrying it. We working full time, but we ain't carrying. We got over 1,500 folk volunteering in this church. They need to know who y'all are. We got to connect. I want you to start a revolution. I say a revolution. They're going to think we're the most friendliest group of people on the planet. Thirdly, I want you to connect with the membership. I want to see some of y'all. I want to see all y'all in the halls. On Sunday morning, get your seat if you need to get your seat. Then I want you to get up, and I want you to start greeting some of these folks. We can't just come to church. We can't just come to church and we do our little thing and we go home and then folk gonna follow us. They ain't gonna follow us. I want you in the halls. Now, I know people like Corey and different ones, y'all getting ready for the service, but when you pass into your thing, when you come in to check me, Corey, to put my microphone and you see somebody coming through the door, I want you to walk up to them and say, hey, good to have you at church. We're going to talk to folk. You can't just come to church and go home. We got to let members know we care about them. They don't know you care because you're down here getting paid for working at Faith Chapel. No, I want you to walk them halls. I want you to talk to people. And I'll be looking. Because they're going to tell me, if I can do it, y'all can do it. If I can stand up after church every week and shake hands sometime for an hour, when everybody gone, I'm still shaking hands. And I done ministered. You came and said, I done ministered. And I stand up there, and it blesses those people to know their pastor will stand up there and shake their hand. It blesses them. If I can stand up for an hour, 30 minutes to an hour every week, you can walk through the hall and say, hey, good to have you at church today. That's not deep. That's not a whole lot. That's not a lot. You can do that, yes.
One of my parents' church members came with their daughter, who's a member to our appreciation on Saturday. And the first thing my mom said to me last night was, she was telling all of their church members how you greeted all of the people out in the hallway as they came. And so I thought that was significant, if that was the most important thing after the comedian that she remembered.
after the most important thing, your mother was talking about somebody else?
Yeah, a lady came with her daughter. Her daughter is a vision partner.
Okay.
But the lady is a member of my parents' church.
Okay.
And that was the highlight of the day for her, was you out there speaking to everybody.
Now, that's the highlight of the latest day. I'm out there, and I'm kissing everybody. I'm playing with everybody, kissing them. I ain't going to touch your hair, and I ain't going to mess your makeup. I know how to do it. Oh, don't worry about it, Pastor. Don't worry about it. You know, and then the guys, see, it matters to people. It makes a difference to people. It makes a difference. Just coming in a church, sitting down, going home, that doesn't connect with people. They don't see nothing. It doesn't mean nothing to them. It doesn't mean anything. These people keep us in business. They walking through this door, they tithing, they giving and stuff. At least we can say good morning to them. At least we can speak to them. You know what I mean? And make an effort. Not just wait for them to sit next to you. Not just sitting there. Come on, say, I'm a leader. So leaders should lead. Now, for some of you, that's out of your comfort zone, but baby, you got to come on out of it. Because leaders should lead. Now, I don't know how to do it other than call y'all out sometime to say, who you talk to Sunday? That's the best way I know to do it. When I see you walking in the hall, you might as well be ready for me. Who you talked to Sunday? Who you spoke to Sunday? That's all I know how to do. If when I see you, did you speak to somebody Sunday? Did you go up to anybody Sunday? Not just the person next to you. Did you go up to somebody Sunday? That's the best way I know how to do it, because I see all y'all at some time or another. I'm passing by all y'all. Hey, how you doing, Bob? Hey, who you talk to Sunday? Kevin, who did you talk to? I know you got your band, but who did you talk to?
This lady in the hallway.
Huh? Yeah, this lady in the hallway. See, that'll work. Listen, that'll work. That'll work. I mean, that'll work. Okay, I saw this lady in the hall, and I went up to this lady in the hall, and I welcomed her to the church. That'll work. I am whatever, and I work here at the church, and we're just so glad to have you. That'll work. Am I near my break time?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, you are.
I'm near my break time. So let me...
5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. We doing good on our time?
Yes.
Okay. Number what?
Six.
Six. I expect you to develop others. Leaders are people who develop others. That's the thing that separates you from others. How you think and the fact that you develop somebody else. Leaders always develop somebody else. There need to be somebody that you're helping, mentoring, encourage. Somebody that you're developing. Somebody that's better at what they do because you spent time with them. That's an expectation. And then the last expectation before we take our break is I expect the leader's attitude. Leader's what?
Attitude.
A leader's attitude. Now, here's the definition I'm giving to the leader's attitude. I want you to have the attitude that I will maximize what I have. I will what?
Maximize what I have.
I will maximize what I have. Not, this is not a leader's attitude. Well, when you give me everything I need and I want, then I'll get the job done. No. It's a different season now. And it's not just Faith Chapel. It's a different season in industry. It's a different season, period. People are not getting everything they need. They're not getting everything they want. We're in a season where people don't have all the resources that they need. You say, well, I'll go somewhere else. You go somewhere else, you ain't gonna get all the resources. We're in a season where people are cutting back. And people are required to do more. They cut in staff, but they're still expecting folk to do it. That's not just here. That's the season that we're in. So a leader can't handle the mentality. Okay, you give me all the money I need, all the people need, all our resources I need, give me all the time I need, and I'll get the job done. No. You're just going to maximize what you have. You're going to get the most out of what you got. That's the approach okay. I don't know how many folk here. About how many folk here right now? 50, 50, about 50 people. Okay. I think this is a worldwide ministry. That's what I believe. Well, I can't wait till I get 200 employees and $50 million budget. No, I'm going to maximize what I have. I'm going to give you everything I got, everything I got. My goal is to help you to be the best leader you ever been in your life. I intend to pour my life into you where you just don't even recognize yourself. You don't recognize who you that's my goal. So I'm going to maximize what I have. I'm not going to wait till I get all these other folk. We need some other folk, but I'm not going to wait. I'm going to work with you. I don't pour everything I can in you, and that's a leader's attitude. I'm going to take what I got, and I'm going to get the most out of what I have. I got this amount of money, I'm going to get the most out of it. I got this number of people, I'm going to get the most out of them. I got two leaders following, I'm going to develop them two folk. That's the attitude that I expect. 15 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, 15-minute break.
Thank you, Lord.